Toronto-based Barrick Gold is the world's largest gold mining company. Their website proudly announces gold production from 27 mines worldwide. Although Barrick Gold is not exactly a household name in Canada, this is not the case in Argentina or Chile, where the company is very well known. High in the Andes, at an altitude of 4,500 meters, on the border of Chile and Argentina, there's the mountain of Pascualama, which contains huge deposits of gold, some silver and copper, which Barrick Gold hopes to mine over the next 20 years. Situated in a very dry area, the mountain is topped by glaciers which supply water to the Huasco Valley below, where 70,000 people have lived for many centuries. In both Argentina and Chile, there has been increasing opposition to Barrick Gold's Pascualama mine project from environmental as well as from community groups. One of those most opposed to the project is the internationally renowned environmentalist Raúl Montenegro, a biology professor at the National University of Córdoba, Argentina, and the president of the Argentinian environmental organization FUNAM. In 2004, Raúl Montenegro was one of the recipients of the Right Livelihood Award, which honours significant contributions to environmental protection and human rights. I started off by asking Raúl Montenegro how Barrick Gold came to set itself up in Pascualama.
It was an agreement between the government of Chile and Argentina. It was at the period of Carlos Saúl Menem administration. This agreement, I think, was the big door for companies, particularly because some companies like Barrick Gold are using territories that involve both countries at the same time. That was the first big door.
How long have these companies been in Argentina?
We are talking about the last 20 years concerning mines that are already functioning, like Veladero from Barrick Gold. They are still working and they're still producing since few years already. Pascualama is not yet officially exploiting mines. It depends, of course, of the government of Argentina and Chile, because Pascualama is a very special case, because Barrick Gold has established a gold mine in a territory in Los Andes which has two portions of land. In one side is land from Argentina and in the other side land from Chile. And this is a very interesting thing because Barrick Gold created a third country. Because for citizens from Chile and Argentina, you need to go with your document, the national document or your passport. But people that work inside Pascualama, in the top of the mountains, there is not a border. They move like in a third country, and this is a very interesting concept. They created a third country with the blessing of both governments. In this particular case, they needed a previous existence of an agreement like this agreement on mining that involved both Chile and Argentina. But this is a very important thing, is to have this third country, all the papers, the document for the environmental impact assessments in both countries. You enter two different procedures, one in Chile and one in Argentina. Due to the fact that Chilean governmental people involved, this is from my point of view, more serious than in Argentina, the environmental impact assessment of the same mine in Chile is more serious than the environmental impact assessment of Barrick Gold vis-à-vis Pascualama in Argentina. And the company that made this environmental impact assessment is the same company. Thus, in these two countries, they presented documents with different level of seriousness. That is very important to see that they are managing administration in different blocks, but the mine will function in the same place. There is not a real interlink between the governments of Chile and Argentina for controlling Barrick Gold. And this is very important because, in fact, for Barrick Gold, the best thing is that they will be controlled by two governments. And this is the best when you make mistakes. This mine is located in northwest of the province of San Juan in Argentina, and in the Andean region of the Huasco Valley in Chile. And it is tragic and funny to remember one of the proposals of Barrigold in Chile. They asked an authorization to the government of Chile for the transfer of three glaciers, Toro 1, Toro 2, and Esperanza, to the glacier of Guanaco. I have been in Chile speaking at the House of Representatives in the Commission on Environment, explaining to them the impacts of the transport of glaciers. And it was very interesting to see that the representatives understood totally this issue. And finally, the government of Chile rejected the proposal of Barrigold to move these three glaciers. In the morning, we had a meeting with the representatives, and in the afternoon it was a meeting with Barrigold, particularly with the vice president, the Canadian vice president of Barrigold. And in the morning we explained to the representatives that you need to take in account that if you permit the functioning of Barrigold in the place where these three glaciers are located, you can move the ice. Technically it's possible, but you cannot convince the snow to fall in other place. The snow will still continue to fall in the same place, but in this case the recipient will be not the glaciers, the recipient will be the mine, and the mine don't function as water basin. They understood absolutely this thing. And in the afternoon, when we meet parliamentarians with Barrigold, the parliamentarians were very clear. It was for us a beautiful thing to see how the parliamentarians have so clear this issue. And they told the Barrigold that it's impossible to move these glaciers because we cannot move the clouds and we cannot move the snow. The funny thing is that Barrigold arrived to Santiago de Chile with one of the more recognized glaciologists of the world. But the glaciologist was there solely for speaking about the loss of ice mass in the transport, but he knows nothing about glacier ecosystem. From my point of view, it's really a company that is not serious. Even the lack of information, the lack of technical analysis is not to believe. But I think we need to believe, because maybe it's a planned lack of information. Barrigold is like a new Attila in the mountains. That means that they come, they destroy, and they leave. The first big impact of mining is that you are arriving to a place where most of the materials, particularly metals, are contained in rocks. When you move a mountain, you are exposing to the atmosphere, to the water, to the environment, to the remaining environment, all these materials that have been contained inside the rocks. Thus, you're exposing all this material to erosion, and it's impossible, even for Barrigold, to control everything. That is the first big impact. Is a geomorphological impact. You are changing the geomorphology, and more than this, you are changing the geomorphology of a water basin. And this is the thing that we cannot accept. Barrigold is destroying the future, not solely because they use toxic material for the processing, but particularly because they are destroying the functioning of high upper basins. And in a world with scarcity of water, particularly in Chile and Argentina, these are semi-arid lands. Thus, the impact is more serious than expected, because they are destroying upper water basins in semi-arid regions. They know about money. They know about how to destroy a mountain. They know how to produce gold, but they don't know ecology. When you have been in contact with technician and expert of Barrigold, like we have been, you are really shocked by the lack of knowledge about ecosystems. And you know, glaciers are not ice. Glaciers are ecosystems. And this is a big gap that such companies are reducing the world to simple games where glaciers are solely ice, and that this ice has gold under. And of course, this is a quite simplistic and not true picture. The reality is that Barrick Gold is destroying unique ecosystems in the world, and this ecosystem cannot be rebuilt. You need to wait thousands and thousands of years for this kind of recovery. Even the processes of remediation that companies like Barrick Gold are presenting, and they told you that, okay, we will produce during 20 years, but don't worry, at the end, we will develop a process of remediation that will put everything in the original places. This is absolutely impossible.
It will come as a shock to Canadians to hear that millions of our tax dollars have been given to Barrick Gold to develop the Pascua-Lama mine project. As a Canadian company investing overseas, Barrick Gold has access to many services of the Export Development Corporation, a Canadian Crown corporation that fulfills the government's mandate of supporting and enabling Canadian businesses to respond to what they call international business opportunities. The Export Development Corporation plays this role by providing financing and risk management services, that's insurance and underwriting, to Canadian businesses which invest in projects overseas. Barrick Gold is one of the largest recipients of EDC support. Now, what about the Canadian Environmental Assessment Act, which established an environmental assessment procedure that all government-funded projects must go through? Sadly, as a result of intense lobbying by the Canadian mining industry in the early 90s when the Act was passed, the Economic Development Corporation was exempted from the full impact of its regulations and procedures. Now back to environmental activist Raul Montenegro as he describes the destruction of the water basins in the high mountains.
It's important to talk about factories of water, and the Andes is one of the bigger factories of water in South America. If you are locating mines in the upper basins, that means that you are destroying part of the factory of water. Such factories don't have workers, don't have loans, don't have machinery. They need snow, water. And of course, if you put Barrick Gold, thus you are destroying this quite fragile mechanism of producing water. Today, with climate change, we are adding more variables of environmental pressure in an ecosystem that is suffering from climate change now. Barrick Gold will tell you that, I don't know why they are protesting. We will use this area, and if you wait a little bit of time, the glacier will melt. First of all, this is not true, and this is not logic, because we need to protect all the glaciers and fields of ice in the high mountains, independent of any kind of activity. Any activity that increases the speed of destruction is not welcome. This is totally clear. I think that Barrick Gold will be located among big genocides of the world in the next years, because people that destroy water basins in a planet where water without salt, all these people that destroy these kind of resources will be seen as murderers in the future. And I think this is the destiny of Barrick Gold. I think that for a lot of countries, and particularly for Argentina, one of the worst investments is to have Barrick Gold in our country. Because, first of all, they are destroying water basins. After this, they are also locating a source of pollution of water. They also locate activities that could reduce the quality of water, and this is the second big impact. You have a third one, is that Barrigold, particularly in Pascualama, the dam containing all the toxic waste, leaky toxic waste, will locate in Argentina, not in Chile. That means that the upper basin of the Hachal River will be menaced during all the period of life of Barrigold, that is expected around 20 years. And for this mining process, the government of San Juan, which is supporting Barrigold, will receive around $3 million per year during 20 years. This is peanuts. For us, as citizens of Argentina, we cannot understand which is the business. Because if you destroy a water basin, if you menace the quality of your hydrological systems, and you don't receive money for this, I think this is a nonsense situation.
What about the impact of the mining project on the ancestral communities in the area?
You have different impacts, but one of the most important impacts when you are locating mining in upper basins is that you are producing impacts that arrive far from the mining site. The impact of a mine like Pascualama is banded, rich, and huge area.
It has a ripple effect.
You have not solely the upper basin, you have also the entire basin involved. That means that all the people located in this basin will be affected. Thus, we are talking about farmers that during thousands of years developed the relationship with the environment that will be destroyed. There is also indigenous peoples affected in some areas of Argentina. In the case of Pascualama, particularly, is people that work in agriculture and in tourism, and their activities are menaced even now without Pascualama functioning. Barrigold is not solely a problem when they are working. They are also a problem when they are in a place. Even being, they are a problem. For the building of the road that goes to Barrigold mines, Barrigold in San Juan destroyed fields of ice all the way from Tutcum, which is a village, to the place of the mine.
So how many kilometers would that be around?
I don't have in this moment the total amount of kilometers, but it's a long road.
How long would it take to drive?
You take a lot of hours for arriving to the mine. It's because it's located in a very high mountains with less pressure of oxygen. It's important to analyze this, that they destroyed the places for the building of road, but at the same time they thought that they will be protected because the place where they are located are quite hostile and not easy to access. But fortunately, we can do such fight in the offices of Barrigold, even if these offices are located outside Argentina.
Can the pursuit of making money, and Barrigold is an example of this, can this pursuit ever be environmentally sound? Is it possible?
It's not possible because it's a problem of brains. It's not a problem of money. The brains of people that work in Barrigold, in the top of Barrigold, are not exactly humans. They are machines for producing money. Thus, environment is an obstacle. It's not an ally of your work. For this, you have Barrick spending so much money for presenting a clean image. Maybe one of the most recent and more nonsense things was a meeting of the societies of ecology of Chile and Argentina took place. One of the main sponsors was Barrigold. I was absolutely shocked with this lack of reality of the current members to accept Barrigold as sponsor. But at the same time, it shows that Barrigold is trying to enter in each window they can see. And this also shows that if you need these kind of windows, it's because you are not in peace with your activity. They need to show that we are clean. But when you are destroying water basins in a world where glaciers are more and more reduced by climate change, you are more in the side of genocide than in the side of development.
My name's Rosemary Wally, and I'm in conversation with Argentinian environmental activist Raul Montenegro.
Do some of the local people work at Barrick Gold? Who are the employees?
This is a strategy that I think is general in most of mining companies. They use workforce coming from different sides of a country. It's very dangerous to have 100% of your workers of a village that is close to the mining, because a lot of things could happen. We know, according to our sources, that most of the workers come from different sides of Argentina. The common language for Barrick Gold and even for citizens is money. But it is true that things that happen in the mine will be easily known by citizens when most of the people live in the same village. It's a way to dilute the transfer of information, the very intelligent, into brackets, ways of cutting this transfer of information. And, of course, the salaries that they pay are not small. That is very important to say. This is not a company that is cheap. They are not solely paying salaries, they are buying brains, and they are quite effective in this. In our current world, you can buy practically everything, but it's interesting to see that Barrick Gold don't pay the exact price. Most of the time, they pay below this price, a little bit. They are not distributing money without control. They know the places, and they know the values, and they know the price of a lot of things. That this is very important to take in account. Each penny is located in the right place. This is, I think, a quite important issue in the management of mining companies. When you have so much money, you can work with the best advisors in a lot of fields, not solely in the field of metals. Also, you can work with the best people in the field of humans. We need not to be naive that we are in front of us companies like United Fruit in Central America. There is no more United Fruit in Central America. Now companies, they have nice people that smile, that understand, that are quite sensitive to the population. Even if you go to Hachal, even if you walk in Hachal, if you go to the mills that have in 1 or 2 centuries, they can build, they can be reconstructed. When you ask who pays this, Barrick Gold. Even we have been in a meeting, in a demonstration in Hachal, and we have seen a very strange thing. We were in our meeting, and we have seen jars of marmalade that were distributed free, and in the back of the jar, it was, this is a gift of Barrick Gold. Okay, this is not illegal, but these ways are quite dangerous, because they enter drop by drop in huge segments of population. You don't need the traditional strategies and tactics of United Fruit. You don't need guns. You don't need guns. But the new ways are stronger than the old guns.
Is there anything that you can imagine that can be done against this very problem that you're just talking about? The marketing and the manipulation of ordinary people by Barrick Gold, for instance.
I'm confident, I'm absolutely convinced that the reaction against this kind of mine will increase. I think this is also a matter of time. because if governors, if people that work in areas of environment or health, they receive more and more pressure, they will change. I think the big challenge is how to organize the pressure. This is a challenge for the coming years. If Barry Gold develops their strategies or the tactics of putting money or to show that they are clean, I think that this is a matter of time. Unfortunately, in the meantime, they are destroying. And this is a pity. But I think I am totally convinced that we can change. Even these Attila's plenty of money, they can fall. If they are spending money, having journalists coming and describing beautiful things of Barry Gold, we can do the same. If you distribute in an efficient way the true information about Barry Gold, that you can neutralize all the money they put for having nice articles or nice interviews. That's, I think that the problem when you are using some kind of technique is that the people affected will learn about your techniques, and the same techniques will be used against you. This is the story of humanity. In both sides, particularly vis-à-vis Pascua Lama, it has been protests of people, both in the Huasco Valley, also in Argentina. In Argentina, the core of the protests were located in Hachal. In Hachal is a village near the way that go to the mine of Barry Gold. The problem is that in the more recent elections in San Juan, the governor, Gioja, which is supporting mining, won the elections, even in Hachal. This is a bad thing for the struggle, but the struggle remains. I think that it's a matter of time. The reaction against mining is growing and growing. Even if the governments are not really protecting citizens, governments work more in the side of company than in the side of citizens. But in Argentina, we have a background of rebellion, of fighting, and this is a matter of time because more and more people is against mining, and mining needs some kind of stability. And I think that in the following years, this stability will be challenged by the movement of citizens. Even there is more and more linkages between different groups of citizens. That is good news, that they are linking hands, linking efforts. I think that one of the problems we face in fighting against mining companies is that it's not exactly a single company easy to identify. It's like a complex universe of linkages, of agreements, of parallel companies, and even companies changing all the time. In our fight, we need to spend a lot of effort to know which are the companies behind each company. And maybe this is also a chapter in the fight, is to extend the fight not solely to the visible company, but also by the partners company that were particularly in Canada. And this is a next chapter. It's a matter of time, because more and more people is joining hands against companies like Barry Gold.
What do you think of the idea of us buying a share? Say we bought one share in Barrick Gold, then we could go to the investors' meetings, and we could go to the mic, and we could denounce what was going on.
I think that all ways are welcome. All ways are welcome. And if the system provides to you the possibility of being seated in an assembly, I think that this is a good way. When you have so strong companies with so dark background, you need to use this way. Of course, to taking care that you're entering it for clear purposes of fighting. we need to fight in Canada. That's, I think, a more strong next step need to be developed in Canada. We perceive more and more linkages between the government of Canada with companies. And the government of Canada, if the government represents the people, need to know that the company they are protecting or helping in their operation are destroying essential resources. They are destroying water basins. And particularly vis-a-vis Pascua Lama, we have been working with NGOs in Canada for transmitting our protests to the country. But I think that this is only the beginning. We need more contact and more joint work, because I think that we need to transfer the protests that are happening both in Chile and in Argentina to Canada, which is the place where Barrick Gold premises are located. There is complicity, a silent complicity between government, even citizens, and Barrick Gold. Because, you know, when you are fighting because this Canadian company is destroying our water basins, and we don't perceive reactions in the government of Canada, in the citizens of Canada, thus it's not easy to understand what is happening. For any country, it's quite important not solely to have an entering of money for the budget of the government and for the budget of the companies. It's also very important to respect human rights, to respect environmental rights, and this is not happening. There is a delayed discussion inside Canada about the bad things that companies and even the government is doing outside the borders.
Well, there's no discussion in Canada.
Yes, and this is a problem. And for this reason, I said that it's like a complicity. You are part of the problem that you are creating. Silence in Canada is killing people outside Canada. This is important to underline. You don't need guns sometimes for killing people. Even being in silence in your country, you are killing people.
Now for a few websites that you might find useful. For more information about Raúl Montenegro and the protest movement in Argentina and Chile, you can go to www.funam.org.ar. That's FUNAM, FUNAM .org.ar. And it's the Fundación para la Defensa del Ambiente. And their website is in English. It's the Environmental Defense Foundation. And you will also get information there on contacting Raúl Montenegro himself. For more information on the activities of Barrick Gold, you can go to www.barrick.com. www.barrick.com. Barrick Gold Corporation of Toronto. For information on the protests that are starting in Canada, you can go to Protest Barrick, all one word, protestbarrick.net. That's protestbarrick.net. This is Rosemary Wally in Montreal.